Amen. So good to see you. Some of those that have been traveling, that have are back safely. Glad that they can make it back and make it back in time. Continue to pray for those that are not feeling well, and continue to pray for our missionaries. Let's take our Bibles. We're going to turn to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. And if you're able to stand as we read God's word tonight, Numbers chapter 20. We're just going to read a couple verses tonight. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Just read a few verses tonight and continue with a subject we started last week. Continue with it tonight. Numbers chapter 20, begin reading verse number 12. Numbers chapter 20, begin reading verse number 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. What a beautiful day it has been. Well, I'm thankful for those that you gave safe travels to bring them back to us. We're glad to be able to see them again. Thankful for those that we got to see on Sunday that we've been praying for their health, and we continue to pray for them tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless each one tonight for their faithfulness to you. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with our missionaries tonight. We thank you so much for them and for their service to you. Bless them as well. Lord, we're looking forward to Sunday and thanking you for the opportunity we have to meet in the Lord's house on the first day of the week. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless that as well. Lord, keep us safe tonight as we learn from your word. Lord, we're looking forward to the time when we can lift up our prayers to you as well as we pray one for another. So all these things in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. And so last week we looked into an individual, and we saw the price of sin for an individual, the cost of sin for Haman. And as we looked into Haman's life as an individual, we could see that sin, that how devastating it was to an individual and to that individual's life and to the choices that he had made and the high cost it was for him. And so tonight we're going to expand that and expand it into a group of people or a society or a people. The price of sin can affect more than just an individual. Many times when we have temptation to sin and Satan presents those temptations to us, one of the things a lot of times we as individuals forget is that our choices to sin never just affect us. They always affect those around us. Our decisions to do anything in life always affect another individual. They always determine where you're going to be or what you're going to do. Decisions for my wife and I always affect the kids. Lots of times they'll say, hey, we want to eat this for lunch, and we'll look and we'll see something, and my wife is really good at spotting things on the freeway after you pass the exit. They want McDonald's. That's great. There's McDonald's. So that decision is now affected. We don't get that anymore. We miss the opportunity to do that. And sometimes we miss opportunities in other ways. So decisions always affect other people. And sin is the same way. Sin doesn't necessarily just affect an individual. It affects people and nations and countries and humanity as a whole. And this evening, God wants us to show us that high cost of sin and how it has already damaged lives, and it has already damaged history, and how it always has already damaged mankind. Even as a child, we ought to obey our parents, and so when we sin as a child, those decisions can affect even our future as into our lives as a child of God into our adulthood. It affects everything. And so this evening, we're going to look at four results to sin that affects not just an individual, but everyone. And I've had people ask me before, well, what is sin? Define sin for me. What does sin mean? What is it? James defines sin very clearly and very easily for a Christian. James chapter 4, verse 17 states, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So sin is very easily defined. When we think about our conscience and we think about what's right or what's wrong, and we're having a conversation about a phrase that we have on our screen here, and as a child of God, it's pretty easy, honestly, to make decisions lots of times between what is right and wrong. And so we know those kind of things. Is it good to read your Bible? Yes. So if I know that it's good to read my Bible, not reading it would then be sins. We can define those things. Is it good to obey your parents? I'm going to look to my teenagers because there's the only ones in here. Is it good to obey your parents? Yes, he's shaking his head. So if I do not obey my parents, it is sin. So it's easy to define sin. Many times we struggle with it. Many times we struggle with, well, what is sin? In reality, there's something in our life we're trying to justify or trying to make okay in life. But it causes lots of different things in life. Four things tonight. First of all, sin causes separation from God. It causes separation from God. When you look at our text here tonight, and we look at our text here tonight, we see that it affected more than just Aaron. It affected more than just Moses. There was already a sinful attitude within the people. Verse number 13, this is the water of Meribah. Because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. So the children of Israel themselves, as a people, had chosen to strive with the Lord. They were constantly complaining. They were constantly accusing God. They were constantly murmuring. And their attitudes and their decisions to live in that life had then also affected Moses and Aaron, and that Moses and Aaron decided to strike the rock when God said to speak to the rock, and then that caused a separation from God. Their relationship was broken. The Bible then said that Moses would not enter into the promised land. We can think of the sin of Aaron. Aaron would never even get to see the promised land. He dies a few minutes later. We know that the children of Israel, they sent the 12 spies in. 12 spies went to spy out, and 10 were bad and 2 were good. Y'all remember that chorus? He'd never heard that one before. We had to teach him a chorus. 10 decided to do wrong, to sin against God, and it caused separation. Those that were 20 years and up never got to enter into the promised land. It always causes a separation. But it causes separation for the lost. When we sin against God, our spirit dies. And because we have a dead spirit within us as a lost individual, we'll never be able to walk the streets of gold. We'll never know what it means to be blessed by God and protected by God and given by God. And all that God promises to a Christian, to those that know Jesus Christ, our Lord and personal Savior, to a lost person, this is just a book. But to us as a Christian, this is a list of promises. This is a list of blessings. This is a list of correction. This is a book that shows us the love of Christ and what he has done for us in life. But to a lost individual, it's just a book. It's just a book. It causes a separation, and it's eternal separation from God. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, describes what takes place. All of those who do not know Jesus Christ, their Lord and personal Savior, will eventually be cast alive into the lake of fire, which is the second death, in eternal separation from God because of sin. But even for the saved, when we harbor sin within our heart and life, when we allow our flesh to take control, when we give into that temptation, when we give into that choice that is presented with us to do what our conscience, what the Holy Spirit tells us is wrong, it creates a severed communication with the Lord. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We know one of those is unforgiveness. One of the greatest sins that I believe Christians struggle with the most is unforgiveness. And God says if we're not willing to forgive others, neither is our Heavenly Father willing to forgive us. There's a separation. There's a separation between the two. And as long as we have sin within our heart and life, as long as we're doing those things that our Holy Spirit tells us are wrong to do, then that communication is broken. Have you ever spent some time at the altar or at your prayer time or by your bed and you're praying and just seems like our prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling? Well, it may be just bouncing off the ceiling because we're trying to communicate with a God with unconfessed sins and sins that we haven't dealt with in life. It causes separation from God. How many times have you ever sent a text to your wife, men, and she just didn't respond? We have a new silent treatment nowadays. It's called ignoring texts. Right? A new silent treatment. Usually you're getting a silent treatment because you said something or did something that was wrong. And until you apologize, just put the pride away and says, honey, I'm sorry. I want to restore this relationship. That's when the communication begins again. That's when it begins. The same thing for Christ. Here's a group of people whose separation, the sin separated them from God. And God had to communicate with Moses, because of your sin, you can no longer go into the promised land. I'm going to let you look at it, but your sin caused a break in our relationship. Sin always causes a separation from God. Second of all, sin always causes death. Sin always causes death. Isaiah chapter 59, I got to get over to it. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 through 3, God says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness." You see, when we are sinful, God says it separates us, but it also causes death for the child, for the person that is born. He's going to sin because it's his blood nature to do so, but because he sinned, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God," and because of that sin, it causes death. When Adam and Eve chose to sin in the Garden of Eden, they spiritually died. Our soul and our spirit are dead. And the only way that it can come alive again is by Jesus Christ, by calling upon Jesus Christ and asking him to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It causes that death. It really, honestly, truly, if we think about it, it caused the ultimate sacrifice. John 3:16, we can all quote it, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." But Christ had to die upon the cross because of sin. It led to death. It led to death. Because mankind will choose to reject Jesus Christ, it will cause death, but it will also cause eternal death. Eternal death in a place called the lake of fire. And it wasn't God's design, it wasn't God's plan for mankind to spend eternity in a place like that. Isaiah chapter 5, if you look back to Isaiah chapter 5, and verse number 13, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp. He that rejoiceth shall descend into it because of sin." A place like hell has to exist. Because of sin, millions will spend eternity in a place called hell, the lake of fire, forever and ever, eternal separation from God. But did you know that sin also causes death for the Christian? Also causes death for the Christian. God looks and gives examples of Achan. Remember, Achan took of the accursed thing, and the Bible says it caused the deaths of many people. And he went in, and the Bible says that they had to go in, and they found all the things that Achan took in Joshua chapter 7. And because of that, his family lost their lives, and he lost their lives because of sin. Korah and all of those that followed him in their sin, the Bible says it opened up, and the earth opened up, and they all went in, and it caused their death. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, and they lost their life. They lost their life because of sin. Corinthians, when it speaks of the Lord's Supper, God says that there are many that sleep because they take of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Folks have literally asked me, "Brother Oster, do you think people have died because they took the Lord's Supper unworthily?" Yes, I truly believe. Yes. Why? God said so. Because of sin. Sin always causes separation from God. Number two, sin always causes death. But thirdly, sin always causes shattered blessings and promises. Here back in our text, Numbers chapter 20, the Bible says there in verse number 12, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Moses lost the inheritance. All that he did, he went and He spoke to Pharaoh, and he brought the plagues, and he led his people. He and his rod, and he used it to separate the waters of the Red Sea, and the great miracle that it was. And he led the people to the edge of the promised land, and they chose not to obey God. And then he led his people for 40 years wandering the wilderness, and he was doing well. But here it comes down to the very end, and they're close to the time to go into the promised land. And Moses chose, ladies and gentlemen, to sin. He chose to be disobedient to God. And God says, you have to now not enter into the promised land. Just a few chapters later, Aaron, his life will end unable. We lose that inheritance. We lose that opportunity. We lose the blessings of God. How many times have you promised something to the children? If you'll be good while I'm gone, I'll bring you something back. And lots of times I didn't get what was brought back. So I think my parents had a stash of good stuff somewhere, because it didn't happen for me. Also, not only do we lose an inheritance, we lose our testimony. One of the greatest things that Christians lose is their testimony. We can look back to Saul, and he had an opportunity to obey the Lord. He had an opportunity to be obedient to him in 1 Samuel chapter 15. He had a simple command to go and wipe out the Amalekites and bring the judgment upon the Amalekites that God had prophesied for them. And he chose to disobey, and he chose to withstand the man of God, and he chose to not be obedient to the Lord, and he lost his testimony. He lost the honor of his people. He lost the honor of his rule within his nation. His people lost their respect of their king. He had lost his testimony. How many times have I heard Christians, and they've been out and they said something, and then they just went, oh, lost their testimony. They lost it. How many times I can even think in my own life, as I worked out in the world and had jobs in the world, and I've sat down in the break room or gone home, and the Holy Spirit began to convict me and think, and again, Lord just began to speak to my heart. You're going to have a hard time witnessing to that person now that they saw that in your life. It's going to be really hard to be a witness to them. It's going to be really hard to be a witness to your neighbors now that they know that or they've seen that because of sin. Many times I believe that we can, we've heard this lots of times. I've heard this many times, especially as a youth pastor. Brother Oster, I'm so heartbroken because my children no longer serve the Lord. My children no longer attend church. My children no longer have a desire for the things of God. There was a choice that took place somewhere. There was a choice. We lose that testimony. Brother Randolph gave his testimony, and I've had opportunity to hear his testimony, how he was able to lead his father to the Lord. Brother Randolph gave his testimony that he got saved while he was in the military in the Philippines. And he went home and he said, I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to do what's right for the Lord. But his dad rejected. He rejected his message, and he rejected his offers to him to be saved. And he continued to serve the Lord, continued to serve the Lord. And very, very late in Brother Randolph's life, his dad finally got saved. And his dad said this, I'm going to get saved because I've seen your life. And I've seen what God did in your life, and it changed the life. He didn't lose his testimony. My grandpa got saved exact same way, literally the same testimony. We witnessed to my grandpa forever and ever and for a long, 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 long time. Finally, when he was a lot older, he finally came forward at one of my dad's churches in Colorado, and he said, I've seen it long enough, and your testimony is evidence that what you're teaching is real. And my brother got to lead my grandpa to Christ. Testimony. A testimony. Nebuchadnezzar lost his livelihood. Pastor and I was just discussing this just the other day, just in our time together in the office, and talking about Nebuchadnezzar, and he had an opportunity, and he lifted himself up to the Lord, and he said, oh, look around, look at all this. And he lifted himself up in pride, and God says he turned him into an animal. And he went out and lived and ate grass, and he grew fur, and his nails grew long because of sin. And it affected his nation. His nation. He said, my power and my majesty, man, I've built Babylon. God said, everything you got, I gave to you. I provided for you. So we see sin always leads to separation from God. Sin always leads to death. Sin always leads to shattered blessings and promises. And again, we're thinking in a corporal way. Just think about our own country. Sin in our country has caused separation. Sin in our country has caused great death. Sin in our country has begun to bring shattered blessings and promises. Fourthly and lastly, sin also brings suffering service. Suffering service. You know, the more that we get away from God, the less we witness. You ever noticed that? The more we get away from God, the less gospel tracts we pass out. The more we get away from God, the less we show up for visitation. The more we get away from God, the less we're more worried about someone else's soul. The more we get away from God, the less that we have a desire to see others saved. The more that we get away from God, the less we're concerned about missions. The more we get away from God, we're less concerned about our family knowing Christ. The more that we get away from God, the more that our faithfulness wanes. The more that we get away from God, the more that our faithfulness to Bible reading suffers. The more that our prayer time suffers. You look through the history of the children of Israel, and it seems like they're in this cycle. And about the only times they cried out to God was in the midst of their judgment. And they're just about at the very top of their judgment. And it was at that time that they cried out to the Lord. But really, if they just spent some time like Daniel, three times a day, as they're on their knees to the Lord, they may not have suffered quite as much. Many folks only come to the altar when they're really struggling. But have you ever just came to the altar just to pray? Just to pray? When we have sin within our life, when we harbor that sin, our faithfulness suffers. Our church attendance suffers. Have you ever heard this phrase, the more you miss church, the less you miss church? It's sin. And also, sin also dulls our concern. Dulls our concern. Our desire. Our concern for our church. Our concern for our family. Our concern for the things of God. It always wanes. It always suffers. Consider it this way. Have you ever gone home on a Sunday morning and sat down in your chair and said, Lord, no one got saved this morning. My heart's broken. We didn't see a soul get saved. Lord, I can look out my window and see my neighbor. I would say mowing the lawn, but nobody has grass here. They're sweeping their grass on a Sunday morning. Boy, it'd be great to see them in church. It'd be great to see them singing a song for the Lord. Our concern. This last time you got a prayer card from your missionary. Just prayed for your missionary. Prayed for a missionary. You see, sin causes our concern to wane. One commentator said it this way. When we harbor sin, it gets very easy to find other things to do before God. It gets very easy to have reasons not to stay in services. It gets easier to be less faithful. You see, sin always has dire effects on mankind. We see it in the statistics. Churches everywhere, not even just the independent Baptist churches, but churches everywhere are struggling to fill the pews. The only ones that are really having any success filling the pews are those that are having theater rather than service. Because sin always has dire effects. But there is assurance that every person can count on. If you're lost, you can be saved. If you're saved, you can get back to Christ. You see, Jesus does want to have a relationship with you. He does want to bless you. He does want to see you in the services. He does want to see you reading your Bible. He does want to see you singing. It's not as much of a thing anymore, but I remember when I was young, a teenager, The thing used to be to have the most bass you could possibly have in your car. Y'all remember that? You used to pull up to a park, pull up to the intersection, and everybody's windows are vibrating, all the doors are vibrating, the car's bouncing up and down. I used to like to just roll my window down and turn on my Christian music and just sing as loud as I possibly can. If they can play their trash, I can play my treasure and be a witness for Christ and be a witness for Him. Question: how much are you willing to pay for sin for a season? Because it always costs. It always costs. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for this opportunity to study. Thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Lord, last week we saw the devastating effects upon an individual and his own individual devastation. But tonight we look at sin as it causes and affects a nation, a church, a people, a country. Lord, it always causes these four things. We can look around to our own country and think, man, goodness, what is happening? Answer is simple. Sin. Sin is always devastating. It's always. Maybe some can look and say, man, what's happening to my family? Could it be sin? Could it be sin? What's happening in our jobs? Or what's happening? Could it be sin? Could it be sin? Moses stood on the side of the mountain. God gave him a view of all of the promised land, but he could not step in because of sin. Because of sin. Because of sin, Lord, many Israelites never got to see the promised land. A bunch of people. Lord, help us, Lord, to make the decision. I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do my best to confess and restore my relationship. And Lord, do the best I can to follow you and take those ways of escape, because sin costs more than I want to pay. Costs more than I want my family to suffer. Costs more than I want my church to be affected. Help us to make that decision and choice within our hearts tonight. That's all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.